Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Salita, the host of Say Your Piece radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Join me and Brian for an informative show about life, love, politics, and culture.
Well, good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is having a great evening. This is Salita, and we have Brian. And this is Say Your Piece on Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm, like, so excited. So much is going on. So much has gone on. And just kind of moving forward with stuff, trying to keep your head together. Brian, how are you tonight?
All right. Doing good, Salita. How about yourself?
Can't complain. We were supposed to have Marion Fulmore Crawford, and we were just supposed to discuss her wrongfully convicted son. Some kind of way miscommunication. So we're going to move on to, you know, we always have something in the hat. Brian, I want you to start off by discussing, first of all, let's talk about the lady here in Winnsboro that set herself on fire, that had everybody up in the uproar, and where she blamed the KKK, and let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of people have probably seen on the internet some newscasts that a young lady by the name of Shamika Moffitt was last reported was burned over 60% of her body, and this was in Winnsboro, Louisiana. And Winnsboro is not far from the same area, the area we've been doing our investigation on, Arrows, Louisiana, which is close to Ruston, which is, for some people don't know what these small towns are, let's say it's in between Monroe and Shreveport. Give you an idea where it's located. This young lady was supposedly walking in the park. I think the park was called Civitan Park. And supposedly were attacked by three males. Now, she didn't describe the males. She said they were in hoodies. She didn't know what they looked like. So from all indications and reports I've seen, she didn't know if they were black or white. But she was burned over 60% of her body. Reports I recently got is that her face wasn't burned. It was maybe from the, I think, the maybe below the chest area down, something like that. But she was burned, and she did require surgery after being burned. Now, the report we got, Salita, actually I have one of the latest stories out. And this story this week in the Elegant News Weekly out of one of their contributing papers, it was out of the Monroe Dispatch. And they went close, and it says, in the last 24 to 36 hours, the residents of the region had suffered through two effects of shock. On Sunday night, that was October 21st, residents were shocked to hear that a young woman in Winnsboro, Louisiana, according to her story, was attacked and set afire by three men wearing white hoodies, and that's what we discussed. She said then they painted racial slurs on a vehicle. When word got out about this alleged incident, there was understandably anger and shock of how could this happen. And the law enforcement immediately started an investigation to the young woman. Now, I'm going to pause right there, Salita. In Louisiana, we don't normally see that to happen. I mean, we live here. It's very seldom you see law enforcement jump on an investigation. I mean, I'm just when we say law enforcement, doesn't mean local. Because I'm gonna get to it. They had state police fly in by helicopter. We have had people mysteriously get killed and shot, and we never hear about them flying in. But that's a red flag up for me. I'm just, you know, and I just have to have flags up because I don't trust them. I don't trust law enforcement. I don't trust the people around because I've seen too many things. It's not saying you don't have some good people in there, but you got some apples in there that, they do things for what they call that media control.
It said that
law enforcement immediately started the investigation as the young woman was transferred to LSU Shreveport Burn Unit. And prayers from the community went up from the family, hoping a miracle that the young woman would survive the ordeal. Law enforcement were also quick not to call the incident a hate crime. That was another thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were quick not to call it a hate crime. They flew in as soon as they heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Said by Monday afternoon, the shock of horror felt by the residents of Winsboro and the surrounding areas turned into a shock of disbelief when law enforcement officials said the story was allegedly made up.
Man.
They're saying that Ms. Shamika Moffitt made up and called in to 911 and reported that she had been attacked at a Winsboro park by three men.
Mm-hmm.
And now the initial news reports didn't say much, only that Moffitt was in critical condition and flown to Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
By Monday afternoon, they said they collected DNA evidence at the scene and piecing together Ms. Moffitt's account of what happened. Police investigators determined that the alleged account of the incident was not true. Now, they pieced together and took DNA evidence. Now, my question when you're saying somebody took DNA evidence is very specific because I don't know. When we go further, we'll see what I'm talking about. It said that residents could only imagine that what the family was going through to hear that the loved one may have been a victim of a vicious crime, only to find out that the crime may have been self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
There was one good thing that showed the character of the people in the region. The Moffitt family has received overwhelming support from the Winsboro community. Even before law enforcement findings, now is not the time to withdraw that support because family will need it more than ever. I don't know. It also at the end, it says God will not abandon the Moffitt family. He will bring people together who will shower them with his love. Let us also pray for the family of Shamika.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, my thing was some reports I have is that the only DNA they found on the supposedly lighter fluid bottle was that of Shamika Moffitt.
Uh-huh.
Now, and I'm not saying, but I have a problem with that only being the DNA evidence found, simply because if anybody that's ever worked in a store, I've never seen a bottle put itself on the shelf.
Yeah, so you're saying that it should have been more than one DNA, yeah, because it's been touched by several people, yeah.
So you have
before
people that go through stores and look, right?
Yeah.
When you go through a store, don't you pick cans and bottles up? You're like, oh, I don't want this. Oh, what does this have in it? Whether you're going to buy it or not, I went to the store today and I picked up some things I didn't want. I put it back, looked at it, picked up an item, you know, and you don't necessarily buy them. So it's hard for me to believe that was the only DNA. I'm not saying that she did or didn't do it, but these reports that are coming out, we have to be leery. When I heard one guy say today, well, did you know it was a fake? Because the news said, duh, that's our problem now. We believe.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, because I listen to also, but listening and believing should be two different things, especially when it comes to us. Because we get lied on so much. We get perpetrated as a villain so much that it's not even funny. I don't know the ins and outs of this story, everything that's happening. Really, only Shamika Moffitt is the one that can really tell us.
Tell the truth.
And
even when they said about the lighter, if you think about the lighter.
Right.
They said the same thing about the lighter. Now, I'm quite sure if she went to a store and bought that lighter and it wasn't already prepackaged, she brought it off the counter or whatever. Somebody else, the clerk touched the lighter.
Now, I don't know about you, but I purchased lighters before because I like to have them handy. I got one in my tool bag because I'm in the country and we burn stuff. So we'll either get lighters or matches to burn things. And every lighter I purchased has been at the cash register. With the exception, unless you buy one of those little long stem ones, now they're in the package.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the lighter I'm thinking of is a cigarette lighter. Now, it may be a long stem one. And even a lot of those are even open. So they have little triggers on them, but they're open where you can handle them. So, you know, to me, I just have a lot of questions when it comes to, and they say the state police flew in.
Well, because you know why, too? If you say hate crime, they prepare for that. That's an automatic, especially they know tension. Right now, they know it's tensions are very high right now.
And I think you're right, but I think it's the reason you said, okay, listen about it. They flew in. Louisiana has such a history, a recent history. I'm not talking about 30, 40, 50, 100 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly.
It has such a, not let's say recent, a current history of inflicting pain and hate crimes in this state that a lot of times are covered up.
Yes.
A lot of times are covered up. We have Alexandria. We can cite in Alexandria just a few years ago here where a police officer, an off-duty police officer, went to a hotel room where a black guy was. I take that back. He was not off-duty. He was, plain clothes?
Yeah.
And he went to a hotel room where a husband and wife was and ended up shooting an unarmed man, killing him.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the man was irate, but the man didn't have a weapon, not a knife, not a pen knife. He killed him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Another man was tased to death because his grandmother called an ambulance because he was having, seizures.
Yes.
He couldn't handle him, and he had a mental problem. They knew that. So they said they called the police, and... the ambulance company called the police, and he was killed. They promised his grandmother to take him to the hospital. We have another man in Pineville, which is right across the river. Family called, said we have a relative, a brother. He's a mental patient, but we can't find him. When they found the man, the police said, he tried to attack us, so they shot him.
Mm-hmm.
You already knew he had a problem because they told you that when they called in. They are shooting us wholesale. And here recently, Salida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know, we just had a man, I found out I know this man, a white male who had a relationship with a black male, from all the indications, a sexual relationship, and he killed a black male, and this man was given probation, cut his body up and put it in a box.
Yep.
And
what's the name of that judge?
Yeager. Tom Yeager. Thomas or Tom Yeager?
I can't remember his name. Yeah, Judge Yeager.
They gave one man in particular I know, a 25-year sentence for drug possession. But this white man for killing a black gets probation for cutting his body up, putting it in a box, saying now he's turned his life around. This thing is sick. Louisiana.
It's blatant.
And I know it's not just Louisiana, folks, but since we happen to live here, Louisiana is so wickedly evil in its persecution of black people. It's unjust so-called justice system. We are persecuted to the full extent of the law, and these people are let off with a slap on the wrist when it comes to anything legal. We are we're just done so wrong, and everybody wants to say that it's not so. Why do you bring these things up? It's happening every day in our face.
Yep. It sure is.
My son got pulled over, I think, maybe about a year or so ago. North Louisiana, same area, Arrows area.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl area. And the cop stopped him and he said he was speeding. But he, I got to bring the dogs in. He said, Daddy, took the dog around my car five times, hitting on the side of my car. If the dog smells drugs, he going to hit automatically. Yeah. I mean, do we want permission to search your car? He said, I told him, I'll give you permission to search your car. So if you search, you're going to search it against my will. But they didn't search the car, so they figured he must knew somebody's right. Because he said, Dad, on time the dog would hit up against the car when they packed the car. He kept going around and around. He found nothing. There's no drugs in his car. But what we have to, that these type things, you know, police, judge, lawyers, our people are fueling the court systems. We are the gas that make it run. They're making money off of us on this unjust law. And how can this hypocritical Congress, this hypocritical state government, and I'm talking all states, allow these unjust laws to be in place where a man can get more time for less drugs? And I say that to say, with the, I always go back to that crack cocaine and powder cocaine issue, where crack cocaine got 15% of crack. It's got 85% of something else, and powder cocaine has 100% of cocaine, but yet still the crack gets more time. Not injustice. That's not just downright evil intentions. I don't know what it is.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. And if we don't try to work on making a change, first of all, with ourselves, and then taking it higher. I saw an article, I'm not sure where I saw it, but I'm thinking they also have a petition out to stop giving all the power in the hands of our judges and our district attorneys, because they have too much power over our life when it comes to us getting
to
the
courtroom.
System. Yeah. Yeah.
And whenever, think about this, Alita. You in a court case. You're fighting, trying to win. You have video footage to exonerate yourself. And the judge says, that's not admissible in my court.
Exactly.
But, judge, it shows that I didn't do it. I don't care. You're not going to show it in my court. Come on. To me, that's called suppressing evidence.
Exactly. And as you know, we know that happened this week with Catherine Connor that was on the show last week.
Right.
Her son was sentenced Monday to 140-something days, which came out to months in jail for something that they never had evidence saying he did it. And the reason why they said that he did it, that they wound up sentencing him, is because they said that he didn't go to counseling when they told her to send him to counseling. So since he didn't, and then he didn't have any remorse. And her point was, and as a mother, why would I send him to counseling if he didn't do anything wrong? And because she didn't do it, they said that's the reason why they sentenced him to the 4 months.
Now, this is stupidity of the justice system.
That's defiant. We're going to show you. If you're not going to do what we tell you to do, we're going to show you, despite whether or not you did it or not. Because you don't show any remorse and you didn't take him to counseling, we're going to make him serve. And that's basically what that was the gist of it was.
Now,
and go ahead.
No, I was saying, now let's look at this. If I'm a student and I go to the police and I said, Mr. Woods touched me in the wrong way. They'll go to school and arrest Mr. Woods. Especially if he's black. But now they're saying, so this is off a mere allegation.
With no proof behind it.
But if you turn around and say, Mr. Woods say, Tamika expose her private area to me. Now they're going to come and say, oh, let me turn that around because that doesn't seem right. Let's say Mrs. Woods, the teacher, said Jackson exposed his private area to me. Now I'm going to turn around and go and arrest Jackson. It seems to me, first of all, that you should have more than just somebody's words. There's too much lying that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
People will lie. I have a friend of mine that has some friends that I know, and we were having a discussion about a month ago that when the wife got mad at the husband, she told him, if you didn't do thus and so, I'm going to tell him you hit me. And he said he bowed down and did it, too, because he didn't want to be arrested, because he'd been arrested already. So my point is there's no evidence of being hit. There's no bruises. There's nothing. He didn't touch her, but she threatened to do it. And I use that not to say anything about domestic violence or anything like that. My point is just a mere allegation. It's just like the allegation against Ms. Connor's son. What's his first? What's his first name again?
Matthew. His name is Matthew Moore.
Yeah, just the same thing that happened against Matthew. A mere allegation from evidently a disturbed teacher that this is not her first rodeo caused this young man to go through 3 years of hell. Man, I'm not taking anything away from it, but I'm thinking the 3 years is more hell than the 4 months he got to serve. Because think about it, when you always have something over your shoulder and you don't know what's going to happen to you, especially when it's a lie. But they come, the authorities in Louisiana, they love to come to you and say, well, if you take this plea, we'll go ahead and just knock it down to this. But you admitted to guilt. Or you just go ahead and agree with this. You know, that's what they used
exactly.
to do. And now we have a record. Guess what? You're feeling the system again because now we have to, if you're going to try to clean your record up, you got to pay the system.
Yeah, you got to pay back into the system in order to clean your record up.
Paid into the system while you're in the court. You pay the lawyers. If you didn't pay the lawyer, you pay court costs, you pay fines. You're going to pay some kind of restitution. I mean,
I could have seen, and you know what, let me tell you this, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you just made me think about something. Now, I went down to Clinton, Louisiana, and for support when he went the first time.
Okay.
I mean, when he went back for his sentencing, which he had it delayed to this time. That was October the 9th. And I noticed a guy, it was a white guy, this is what they did to him. I don't know what he did. But he had a deadly weapon, and he had incited a fight, and he threatened them with the gun, whoever it was he was about to fight with. This is what they gave him. They gave him a year of probation, 10 days of, community service, and that was it. And he left out of there.
He had a deadly weapon,
and they said he provoked the fight. From what he said, he incited the fight with the person, whoever it was, he was fighting. And that's exactly what they gave him. But they turned around. Huh?
No, go ahead. I'm cutting in. I'm running my mouth. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. And then you turn around, Matthew goes and get his sentence, because he had his sentence delayed the day I came. Then he wound up having to come back on the 23rd. When he went back, they gave him 4 months in jail. This other guy did not serve one day. And this young man has never been in trouble ever. And they gave him 4 months in jail. See, that's why I know when we say unequal justice, that is a guy who had a deadly weapon and you're the one who started it and you got a year probation, he had to have a lawyer. He had to have a lawyer.
I mean, but look at it. Look what you're saying. This guy started the incident. He got probation. Mm-hmm. Another guy murdered. He got probation. But, you know, to me, a judge has too much leeway He can get up. Who's to say the judge is not the racist you-know-what out there? Mm-hmm. And when we walk into the courtroom, he already going to give you the book because you're black.
Yep.
And in this era of time, mm-hmm. living in this climate,
mm-hmm.
what not to think in listening to all of this so-called conservative, which is another name for racist, this conservative radio,
mm-hmm.
conservative language, conservative chat, all this conservative talk, every time you hear, you see the venom and hear the venom being spewed.
Mm-hmm.
Same attitudes when it comes to justice is being pushed on us, and we are victims of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
The people that's less likely can fight it are the biggest victims. Because what? Because you happen to be black, color of your skin?
Mm-hmm. Basically, that's what they're saying.
Here again, Salida, in our city, the same judge, Yeager, that gave the probation to the white man for killing the black man and cutting him up, putting him in the box.
Mm-hmm.
A whole black family was killed by a vehicle homicide. A car ran off the side of the road and killed, I think, five mm-hmm. of them. I think it was five, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, a month later, another vehicle accident took place, and another car ran across the median and went head-on and killed two members of another family. But it's white-on-white. The white-on-white got three times as much time as the white-on-black, and only two mm-hmm. white people were killed and five blacks were killed when the white killed the black. Both were vehicle mm-hmm. homicide. Now, we just learned today that the surviving family member was offered, I think, $20,000 for his five family members, and he can't use it till he's 18 years of age. I mean, are these people crazy?
Hmm.
Or they think we crazy?
No, they think we crazy.
I mean, but my thing is, where is the FBI? Where is the Justice Department? Where is the our Attorney General when it comes to these bias judgments where mm-hmm. we're repeatedly getting the shaft? You know, it just amazes me how we can, these things go on, but we get no national media attention on any of this stuff.
No, we can't, because it's not important.
They're going to talk about dogs.
Yeah, we'll talk about dogs dying.
Baby Boo Boo, whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to talk about anything but us. We are, yep. I mean, when it comes to society, we are the least of anybody's concern.
Exactly.
We're the least
but
of anybody's
like concern. It's been like that, and we allow it to be that way. We stopped having a voice a long time ago. We stopped the fight. Everybody now is showmanship. Who I can show up, who I can, you know, what bandwagon I can ride on next.
But when,
you know,
when,
to get that notoriety.
But when we stand up, when we do have something to stand up, the first people holler troublemakers are the Toms, those who are getting their pockets padded.
Mm-hmm.
And those white folks who want to stay in power or who want to try to keep us blind. Then consider call us troublemakers. They want to mm-hmm. say, but you just don't understand. You're just causing trouble. You don't want to help the community. Because we're supposed to be satisfied
mm-hmm.
with what they do to us.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing anything for us, but to us. Well, you bring the drugs in.
Mm-hmm.
You put them in our community
mm-hmm.
and act like you're police and go out there and catch one of our poor brothers and sisters with it. Then you give them 25 to life.
Mm-hmm.
You flying the planes in. You bringing yeah. the ships in. You bringing the helicopters in doing the drops. You bringing them in by 18-wheeler in the hubs of trucks. And you saturate our community with it, you making a big buck, and then you're persecuting our people for this. Mm-hmm. Well, should we not persecute the people who sell it? No, I'm not saying that. But first of all, I'm saying if you go after, you know what? If you go after the whale, you can find all the fish in the belly.
That's
or
right.
You can stop all the fish from going to the belly because the whale's what's eating them up. That's one that's bringing in the cargo.
Mm-hmm. That's
nothing
right.
to persecute if you stop the whole shipment from coming in. You can stop people from, you can stop countries from coming into this country and infiltrating this country's shoreline with warfare. Think about this. Russia can't come in here and start a war.
Mm-hmm.
Iran can't come in and start a war. China mm-hmm. can't come in and start a war because America has its intelligence out, right?
That's right.
But you're saying this same intelligent country who can prevent these weapons from coming in and starting a war coming across the border. Well, you got to talk to somebody a little dumber than me. Because just like
exactly.
you can stop them from bringing that in, you can stop those drugs from coming in, too.
Exactly. You're right.
They know who's bringing that stuff in.
Well, Brian, we're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be back.
Okay.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You see me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. My teacher tells me in this country, we can grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
To help fight hunger in central Louisiana and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org.
Is Selena and Brian, and we're back with Say Your Piece.
All right.
Okay. Now, I was just reading this. We are Facebook fanatics, right? And I was just reading this, and it said on here, it's from the Beyond Bars, I'm sorry. And it says, Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I hear a lot of noise in the background. What you doing?
Nothing different.
Okay. All right. It says, Louisiana imprisons three times as many people per capita, than Russia does, and about five times more than Iran. The state also has a booming private prison industry. You do the math. America's dirty little secret. Louisiana is the prison capital of the world, not of the nation, but of the world. It imprisons 1,619 people per 1,000, more than any nation in the world, including Russia. 525, Iran 333,000, and China 122. It costs taxpayers $663 million a year. $182 million of that goes to the for-profit prisons. Did you hear that?
Wow.
$663 million a year. That's what it costs us as taxpayers.
That's what it costs.
And $182 million of it goes to the for-profit prisons.
What does that tell us?
It tells us that we're not making no money off of this. That's what it tells us.
And we see that here especially, these governors are right behind all of this, especially like Bobby Jindal, who's a crook, a opportunist. He pays back his buddies on the backs of poor and unfortunate people.
Yep.
And we just have to see, I was looking in the Elegant News Weekly this week, And one of this article is independent study slams New Orleans judicial system. And they had an independent study that was done, and this study was based out of Philadelphia. It's a 69-page report, and it slams the system. And I'm not going to go into reading the story.
Mm-hmm.
Study estimated that local criminal justice systems function at a cost of $300 million, with hard to assess results because data on the actual operation of the criminal justice system is sacred and often unreliable.
Man.
You know, I'm telling folks, I'm just like this now at this point. And Men's Farrakhan, Nation of Islam, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has told us this for years. We need to separate, at bottom line. Now, you know, a guy asked me the other day, I put that on Facebook, he said, well, what do you mean we need to separate? Does that mean we only can do? No, separation does not mean. No, he said separation was same as segregation. I said, no, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Separation, see, you're separated from, let's see, we're separated from, what, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to Germany, we can still do business with them. We can still visit a restaurant if we go there. But we
mm-hmm.
don't live there.
That's right.
So
that's separation.
That's separation. Segregation is not being allowed in different places when you're there.
That's right.
So people say, well, what will separation allow us to do? It would allow us to set up a legal system that would be just to our people. It will allow us to set up a medical system that would be just to our people. It will allow us to set up a school system that will be just to our people. And just those, a banking system, that lending system, a hiring system. And the thing is, if you look at it, these few systems I call out, I would dare anyone to show me that I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
that any of these systems are just to us. And we will give that number at 347-677-1749. 347-677-1749. I would challenge anyone to tell me any of those systems are just when it comes to black people. I mean, you know for yourself, Salita, that when it comes to health care, why
mm-hmm.
is it has a better health care system? America has so much, and I say that not being funny, but America has so much more money than the small country of Cuba. But that health care,
mm-hmm.
that health care system is next to none. People right now, Cuba offers to any black American, and we are so weak-minded that we listen to this evil, no-good government that would take us out of the minute to not mess with Cuba. If we go there, we can get a medical, we can become a doctor with one string attached, and I think
mm-hmm.
it's the best string attached in the world, that we go back to our community and give back to where we come from. Once we get that degree, you can, I mean, a free tuition, free books,
mm-hmm.
free room and board, and all you got to do is come back to America, not Cuba, come back to America in your neighborhood and give back.
Mhm. That would be a stipulation, and I was talking on Facebook with having an open discussion. And I was considered a racist because I said that if I had my own corporation, all my employees would be, I would hire all black employees with the stipulation that they would go back to their community and give back to it. And I was considered a racist. And when they said that, I had to explain to them what a racist is.
No.
I said, well, then if that makes me a racist, then guess what? I'll be a racist.
they want to, if you're a lover of black people, they call you a racist.
Racist, yeah. You're not supposed to love your own people. That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, let's break it down. If you break it down, we must know, we as black people talk, we it's wrong for us to love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But let's break it down, black family. If we have black people and people that look like you and look like me, let's take our immediate family. Will I go out and do for someone else what I do for my immediate family?
No.
I mean, Salida, are you, even though we're friends, are you expected to do for me what you do for your husband?
Nope.
No. Are you expected to do for my son what you do for your own son?
Yeah. Nope. I'm supposed to do for mine first.
Exactly. That's your family. Now, let's move the family a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
If I see, you see my son in need, and you see a white child in need, say it's around his same age, who are you supposed to do for first, my son or the white child?
I'm going to do for my your kid first.
Because
that's, how it is.
That's your family.
Mm-hmm. That's considered family, yeah.
I tell people I don't get mad when I see white folk doing for their own because that's just a natural thing to do. What I get mad about is when I see them doing unjust, because if I see my son hindering anybody, black or white, I'm going to call his hand to it. That's what being just is. You don't uphold in wrong. But doing for your own first is nothing wrong with that. That's just a natural order thing. You don't see lions taking care of tigers. Just don't. Both of them are cats now. See, you have to make it plain. Black people and white people are both human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Lions and tigers are both cats. But you just don't see the lion going up taking care of the tiger. Or the cougar taking care of the jaguar.
Nope.
Or the leopard taking care of the cheetah. They got their own deal going on. They respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
They working their own thing. You know, but we're higher intelligent. So if we're higher intelligent, why are we why are we being murdered the way we are? Why are we being done so wrong in society since we're supposed to be of higher intelligence? I challenge that higher intelligence. the challenge is if we have such high intelligence, these cats respect each other more than we do, then we're being respected, put like that. They stay at a distance from each other. We're being attacked. Look at Rodney King.
Mm-hmm.
Emmett Till. Look at Megan Evans. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Malcolm X. All people who are being threatened. Look at Marcus Garvey. I mean, these folks have systematically set up somewhere or another to get rid of us, to take us out. Sometimes they use us to do it.
Yes, that's right. We use each other. Yep, that's right.
So there's nothing wrong with supporting your own. Well, the problem is when we pay taxes out just like they do, that stops because we're paying taxes out, so we should be able to have a chance of getting public jobs just like they have a chance of getting public jobs.
Yep.
And when they use public money to make their businesses work, they should be obligated to hire us. They should be obligated to us anyway because they are so far ahead because of using on our backs of our people.
That's right. They don't think we deserve it. We're not supposed to get that. That's
they
not for us.
And for us, what they should have after they so-called freed us after all that years of bondage.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right.
You try to, and you know, the biggest part of this is to me is not trying to convince white people, but sometimes trying to convince these black folks with such a shallow way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, my thing is not that I have to convince them. It's trying to convince my own. Especially when we have some people that's in our community who think they're not black.
You
got black people think they're not black.
Yeah.
They got that's a new race. They call themselves biracial. They live too much Tiger Woods. I say, well, biracial, what, you know, that's like my dog. Hey, I don't know what you would call it, but if he's between a German Shepherd and a Pit Bull,
mm-hmm.
what you call him?
If he's a German Shepherd between a Pit Bull, he's a mutt. That's what they call them, mutts, when
so,
they mix like that.
So a biracial person, you either, I mean, you looking at, you look like a black man.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing there tall. You're standing there looking, got features just like me. Your skin just may be lighter. You sound just like me. You walk just like me. Just like me, but you say, oh, no, I'm not black. Biracial. What is a biracial but something that somebody came up with? And you, that's sick. You have never heard a race called biracial.
Mm-mm.
Nope. They allow themselves to be used as pawns, and they fall into the game by the same people that's been doing them wrong for all these years.
Exactly. But not the whole, the thing, too, with that, when you say that, you also have to keep in mind, too, that the ideal that I feel more comfortable if I don't say I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I can fit in with the rest of them if I don't say I'm black.
I think I can fit in with the rest of them.
Yeah, I think I can. And maybe they'll accept me more if I say that I'm biracial. I have a better way of fitting in with them if I consider myself biracial. That's where that comes from. I'd be more comfortable. I'm more accepted that way than if I just say I'm black.
And now they're saying they're more comfortable. They fit in. They think
mm-hmm. they fit in. Mm-hmm.
Think they're fitting in.
Huh?
And I'm not black. I'm, and it goes back to, I guarantee you go into that courtroom, they're going to show you how black you are.
Yep.
You go in that courtroom, they're going to show you exactly how black they say you are. And then you're going to be running to the same people you're trying to deny.
Yep.
That's the only one that's going to have your back.
Mm-hmm.
Ask OJ. OJ, he just couldn't get enough.
Mm-mm.
Nope. He got the biggest warning in the world. People stood behind him. He still went running back. Well, the second time around, didn't come out like the first. They're waiting on him. I think he lost another house, and he's not there to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we better start learning who our people are. That we
yep.
don't already know. You know,
yep.
and I know we kind of just doing a little round table. But you know something that always throws me, Salita, is this school system that we have.
Yes. Yes. And
See?
You know what?
Go ahead.
You're not throwing around because actually our education system is just as important as the justice system because from what they say, from the preschool to the pipeline, the prison pipeline.
Right.
So when you're going through that system, you need to start from the education system, how our kids are not being properly taught about our history, for one thing, and how important education is. And we keep getting, I think, too, and I'm going to let you say what you have to say.
Go ahead.
I was listening to, you know, people, they're proud of their kids, with the science, and they're proud of their kids with the mathematics and stuff. But do we understand that we're learning their ways of doing things?
Mm.
I mean, we want our kids accepted in these big Ivy League schools that really, if it wasn't for affirmative action, we wouldn't even be in them.
Mm. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So go ahead, say what you were going to say.
I was just going to basically add something to that, to the same effect that if this is so cost, and you know what, it just sometimes, that's the part that burns me, not about white people, but a lot of them, it's their nature. Not all of them, but a lot of them, it's their nature.
Mm-hmm.
But our sick-minded black people who won't wake up to reality, it burns me sometimes about them, a lot of times, that we can sit and justify and back up a wicked system. I visited my son's school, report card time. You go around to the classes and you get a chance to talk to the teacher, open house. And the teacher opened up the history book and basically said, you know, this is what, you know, we're going to be going over and these things. And, you know, the first thing I saw was pictures of white men.
Mm-hmm.
I thumbed through the book looking for pictures of black men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing all of these white faces. Now, you know, we are a part of this country as much as anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a ranking, we're either number one or number two, and that's before white. That's before white people.
Yep, you're right.
Now, on the front of this history book, I have it in my hand. It says, The Americans' Reconstruction to the 21st Century.
Mm-hmm.
It has two blacks on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain that I think it's Shirley Chisholm. And it shows I think this guy is he looks like he may be I don't know who he is, but he's some foreign, I don't know if he's maybe Indian, I'm not sure. But as you turn the pages in the book, okay, I'm sorry. I said Shirley Chisholm, I call it wrong. That was Barbara Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And Cesar Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
On there. Now, when it comes to white folk, it's got, I think one, she's a Maya Lin. She's Vietnamese, and then it got four white folks on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what they supposed to call multicultural. But as you thumb through this book, you find about third or fourth page, you see pictures of our native brothers and sisters, the so-called Indians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing but these white faces, Benjamin Franklin, Jonathan Edwards. I don't even know who Jonathan Edwards is. Let's check on him. It shows the South. First thing I see on here, it shows the South. The French-Indian War. It says, many African slaves married in a jumping the broomstick ceremony in which the bride and the groom jumped over a broomstick to seal their union. Although there is disagreement among African-American scholars, some suggest the above a slave wedding on a South plantation in the late 1700s. But it doesn't tell why we jumped the broomstick. Wasn't allowed to marry.
Yeah, they didn't want us to marry.
You see these books
they
here.
They want to pick our mates for us.
Yeah, they give half truths. Yeah, they used to jump the broomstick, but they didn't go through a ceremony. So they couldn't do that. They get hung. So they didn't know what we was doing. They just let them jump the broom. And it showed picture of Crispus Attucks. Now, I've been seeing this picture since I was a little boy.
So that's what over, look.
you know, I think he, Crispus Attucks, this was the, I think Crispus Attucks was the first black to die in the Revolutionary War?
I think so.
I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to thump this real quick. But I've been hearing about CRISPR's addicts since I was a little boy. What are all the people they've been hiding? You know, they show these pictures, all these pictures, nothing but white people. White folks. So if you were a young black child looking, how is it appealing to black kids to learn and all they're seeing is white folks?
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson, John Hancock, William Franklin, all these are white folks. Ben Franklin. I mean, every time we see something, there's a picture in here, they're showing nothing but white folks, women and political power. They get the women political power before they even talk about black people. White women. It's not showing black women.
Well, you know, understand, too, women, doesn't matter what color, they consider minorities, so they still have power.
But that's another fluke, a lie. Let me say lie. That ain't fluke. It's a lie. That they show white women is a minority. A black woman is a minority, but not a white woman. She's a majority. But she's been in minority status, which allows a white man to become a minority undercover. Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. I'm telling you, this is all about white men. Joseph Badger. I'm looking for some black pictures now. I'm not seeing anything black. Not talking about anybody black. But these are the pictures, I mean, the stories that our people are supposed to, our young children, and they're supposed to be very intrigued and want to learn about this. How can you be so enthused about someone you can't see yourself in it, but we know we were there, but the history has been suppressed?
Excellent.
This is the trick of the oppressor. He teaches you his history. So you learn his history, and for a joke, you know, you don't vary. Now, we finally see a picture of Frederick Douglass in here. That's about the 146th page. You see Frederick Douglass. They mention him.
Well, they talk about Frederick. That's somebody they always talk about. You think about Martin Luther, the parents, Sojourner Truth.
You're breaking up, Zalita.
Can you hear me now?
No, I'm going to make sure I don't think of my phone. I'm going to make sure I'm checking the phone.
Because you were doing that earlier. I just didn't say nothing.
Yeah, it's your line.
You know, because you were doing that earlier.
Yeah, it's still breaking up. But go ahead, go ahead.
I was just saying about Phyllis Wheatley. You hear about Sojourner Truth. You hear about Martin Luther King. You do hear about Frederick Douglass. You hear about George Washington. Now, you'll hear those names, and Martin Luther King, after Martin Luther King, you hear Rosa Parks, hear those names, but you don't hear Miss Bethune. Mandy Walk. You don't hear those people. You are the ones who made a difference.
Salita, I'm thinking, I don't know how it's coming over, but it's real scratchy on my end. I mean, I can't hardly understand. I picked up a few words, but I can't understand. I don't know if it's a mic or the phone or what. No, it's still doing it.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you coming through, but it's still scratchy, very scratchy. It's breaking off every other word you're saying.
That's what I was earlier with you.
Say it again now.
I said it might.
Can you hear me?
No.
Now, can you hear me?
It came in a little bit, then it went back out.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, but it's still scratchy. A little bit better, but it's still scratchy.
It's not me.
Can you hear me clear?
Uh-huh, I hear you.
Okay, I don't know what, but it's real scratchy. And I picked up another phone and tried, and it's scratchy also.
Well, I think clear.
But maybe they can hear you. It might be on my, so we can just go for it. But when you were speaking of Sojourner Truth, I turned to her, got her in there, and it said she fought for women's rights. Now, why would Sojourner Truth fight for white women's rights? At the time and date that she was here, Sojourner Truth did not let, it said that the participants of the Seneca Fall Conventions approved all parts of the declaration, including the resolution calling for women to have the right to vote, in spite of all political activities among mid-class white women. African-American women found it difficult to gain recognition of their problems. A former slave named Sojourner Truth did not let that stop her. However, a woman's right convention in 1851, Truth, an outspoken person, refuted the arguments that because she was a woman, she was weak, and because she was black, she was not feminine. You know, those are the same people we're hearing about all the time, and not to take anything away from them, but I think our only argument has been on the whole issue is that it's more than just a few that they allow us to hear about.
Exactly.
You know, they talk about, you know, I see Harriet Tubman. We all hear about Harriet Tubman. But it's the same black people, like we did, nobody else existed. Dred Scott. The same black people. Like, you know, it wasn't any more black folks. But I would say it's more than when I was coming up, though. Definitely more. The biggest question is when we're going to, like Ms. Farrakhan said in a recent lecture we went to, Salia, when we start writing these books, that's when we know we're going to get a little farther ahead.
Exactly.
That's why we got to separate right on, do our own thing. Sometimes the thing we call, do people know how much not only money, but information goes into these type of books?
Yeah.
They are so powerful because it affects the lives of our children. And when you stick everybody else up front above your own, who do your children look to as far as being leaders? I mean, so that's showing that the leader, he's a leader in the books, he's a leader and he's a manager. He's the doctors, he's the lawyers, he's the news anchors, you know, he's the head of the city, he's the head of the state, he's, you know, just what happened now, he's just what happened, they're trying to keep him from being the head of the country. So if we don't start doing something to show our own and in the leadership roles, that's why our children's minds are so messed up. They don't see us leading anything.
Nope. We see Queen Bee, we see all these other women that seem to have been important to us that have no history anywhere, that have not done anything of the record. We look forward to looking at them and praising them. You know, we go for them and No. No way, sister.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. We got to wake up some kind of way. We got to wake up some kind of way, because if we don't, then we're going to lose
mm-hmm.
more than what we think. More than what we think.
Okay, you know what? Let's change up. Let's talk about, since we're talking awareness, we're talking about education, we talked about the judiciary, we basically talked about the incident in the world, how things something like with that situation. Now, talk about locally. Let's talk about the idea. You came up with the idea of actually us going and kind of what we see as the despair of the local area, Andrea, Louisiana area. Let us talk about the stuff that we found, actually put the video together and actually the video out there to a lot of people. We asked you to, and we actually sent it to our Facebook page. We sent it to a static blast. Now, tell me some of the reasons that you're getting from.
Hey, Salida?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's still real bad. I think you were talking about the video.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's still real bad. I called you on a total another line to see if it was my phone, and it's a total another phone and a different line. It's still real bad. I can't. And it's even coming through bad on that one. But if I thought I heard correctly, you want to kind of explain about the video, what's going on in our area with what we just did. Okay. Louisiana Team of Investigation, which is the same team that's helping to work on the Jason Smith murder, decided that enough was enough. And we decided to go out and do some investigations into the problems in starting with our local area. You have to start at home first. And we were tired of looking in our neighborhoods and seeing the blatant, in-your-face, to me, first, is disrespect of public officials, city government, and the city itself on our tax dollars and how it's being spent. So what we did was we got together and we decided to do a comparison of the black side of town, and that's what it is, and the white side of town. And it was even, when you really start looking at it with a committee of people riding around, it was even worse once you start talking about it than what it is when you're just spotting things here and there. And when you learn, you always learn things. I think we spotted ditches, some overgrown, some that were clean, but the way they were clean, they were sprayed with chemicals in our neighborhood. And we looked, but we're going to keep going back out. So far, we hadn't found any ditches in white neighborhoods that were sprayed with chemicals. We found abundance of trash on city right-of-ways. These are not in yards. We're talking about city right-of-ways. We found some of the grass in some of the areas of the city, so they was at least about 6 feet high.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, you clear it up, Salida. It's cleared up now. I don't know. Maybe somebody didn't want us to talk, but it's cleared up now. But you think about 6 feet high grass right across the street from residents,
mm-hmm.
right close to a water pocket. Could you imagine the rodents snakes and insects, mosquitoes that are in that?
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, just imagine.
Yeah, and then we go further and we see where the road, the asphalt has raised up about, at least it was about what? At least a foot and a half high?
Mm-hmm.
A foot and a half high from the road, the asphalt has raised up in the air, and you have to go around it as you probably hit your oil pan on your car.
Mm-hmm.
And the road is sinking in. I mean, we roll, and we're going to go back out, but you had in the middle of the street, you have a big mud puddle. You have asphalt on both sides. The middle is a big mud puddle where the road is sunk, and nobody repairs it. I brought it up to a councilman here, and he said, well, we can't fix all the streets. This is a black councilman.
What?
We can't fix all the streets. That's what he told me. I said, you know what? It's time we need to do something. Unless somebody else tells somebody to do something, they're not going to do it. They can't take everything to master.
Mm-mm.
What about, Salita, tell them about the gas line we found.
Yeah, on one of the streets, it's New York and State Street, I think it is. I can't remember the other name of the street. But there is a literally gas line above ground with a fence around it on one of them, and the other fence is a wooden fence on the other one. And this is sitting right next door to two homes. One home had a bike in the yard, which means I know it's some children right there. Now, if something was to happen, you call in that number, that emergency number for the City of Alexandria Gas Department is not going to help you if you blow up that whole block. Okay? It's not going to help you. We saw that, and that, like, blowed my mind. That blowed my mind. And then the other one that blowed my mind was the electrical plant, the substation for that area, which is Will Glen, right?
Right.
That area has huge power plants sitting in the middle of the city, okay? And you have houses surrounded. And in front of it, behind it, that is, there is a community center where people go. And if you would have never showed it to me, Brian, I would have never even known that was back there. As much as I go up and down that street, I never noticed that community center. I really didn't. And the idea that behind that community center is a big ditch. Nothing is in between it, no fence, no nothing, no guardrails, because, you know, sometimes you have the guardrails that they can put up also to keep, you know, from people from going, or cement, actually a real cement wall would help out. But then if the grass is, I mean, if the ground is weak, the cement wall will fall in the canal, wherever there's water. And today when we were talking, your brother said something that was very profound, and I didn't think about that. Now, if you got a swimming pool in your backyard, you have to have a fence up automatically, okay?
Uh-huh.
Company won't insure you unless you put one up. Now, shouldn't that go for the same thing when you have a canal in your backyard as a business?
That's right.
And I thought about it, I said, that is very profound because I never thought about it like that.
That's true. You got a waterway, and definitely when it rains, those so-called those canals, and I call it a big ditch when they don't have concrete on them, swell up.
Mm-hmm.
And those that thing, if you get in the middle of it, could be at least, what, about 8-10 feet high?
Mm-hmm.
And those currents could whip you away. And the thing about it is nobody says anything about it. They don't see enough, you know, to do anything about it. But if you go to the white neighborhood, they're totally fenced in. Only
exactly.
Certain areas of the black neighborhood, most of the areas of the black neighborhood is not fenced in. If you go
exactly.
out in Alexandria, what they call the Jack Street area, that complete canal from Jackson all the way to it ends and goes back up underground is a total fenced in area. No, and And no matter what, but in the black neighborhood, it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we speak of that, we're saying, what about our tax dollars? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they spent on us like that, meaning in our neighborhoods for protection? Why isn't it spent in our neighborhoods for beautification? Why are you spraying chemicals in our neighborhoods? People have some areas of town where they're newly incorporated areas that where they allow animals to graze. They're still spraying weed killer within, what, 5, 6 feet, 8 feet at farthest? They're still spraying chemicals. Even had a company with a real pretty that name sign done in bricks with pretty flowers across the street. And across the street, they had about at least six foot grass growing up across the street from the city right of ways.
Those are right of ways, yeah.
Every time there's concrete, and this means a lot, folks. Y'all looking at your neighbors, I don't know. But every time we have concrete streets and they get a crack in the concrete, instead of them cutting the panel out like they do in the white neighborhoods, they feel it would put a patch of asphalt on top of it. They don't do it in their own neighborhoods. So why do they do it in our neighborhoods? A blatant disrespect for us.
You don't fight it enough?
You don't fight it. You don't say anything. So when you don't say anything, you don't fight it, well, guess what? Because they used to not doing nothing for us or used to giving a substandard. That's what they used to. That's what they like. Then, let me go further. We have our own people. I have to say it. We have our own people.
Mm-hmm.
Who in this area happen to be some city workers,
mm-hmm.
who don't give a you know what about how they do their job when it comes to our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
They have these big grabber trucks that grab the debris that people throw out that needs to be picked up. They're paying tax dollars for this to happen. But it just so happened when they grab it in our neighborhood, they create a hole in the ground. But I never see that those holes in the ground when they grab it in other neighborhoods.
Yep.
And I don't see excess trash left either like I do in our neighborhood.
But we allow that.
We allow because we don't have a respect for our own. We have more respect for other people's neighborhoods and more scared that they're going to call in on us, and our people don't call in, so we're so used to it happening to us. We have to stand up and stop taking everything that's being dished out to us and know that our tax dollars are taken just like everybody else's tax dollars. If we don't do that, we're going to continue to get this mistreatment and lack of respect from city governments and other governments when it comes to black people. I mean, you have to eventually say enough is enough. And it's so important that we go to these meetings, public meetings, and voice our opinion, find out what your protocol is, meaning what's the procedure of bringing up a complaint on a certain issue. You got to go and talk to someone. You can go probably to your city hall and talk to your city clerk, and they can give you some direction of what the and find out who your councilman is and go talk to that councilman. And it'd be good if you could have at least two or three people to go with you. They know then it's more than one that's complaining about it. And talk to others in the neighborhood, and if you guys can form some kind of group. It doesn't have to be a formal group, but some kind of group that agrees with you that you can represent. Because, unfortunately, some of these people only understand numbers.
Yeah.
And because numbers equate to votes. And once they get in this power, they want to give it up.
Yep.
And, you know, we look at Salida in our city, it's a majority black city. But we've never had a mayor that had a genuine concern about black people. We've never had a black mayor. But it's 57% black. The police department is majority white. The steady hiring majority white. The Justice Department came in to hear complaints on a 30-something-year-old consent decree that was filed against the police department because of its inadequate hiring practices and inadequate promotion practices of African American people.
You're right.
Still under the same consent decree, 30-something years later, because the city has not made good on it. The police officers want to talk in private for fear of retaliation from their white bosses. These are black officers. And I would dare to say that here in Alexandria, I know it's not like that in a lot of cities, but most of our, if not all, but I know majority of our black police officers get along well with the black community. Because most of them come out of the black community. I was watching the way they interacted at the ball game this Friday, talking to everybody. They know everybody. And I know that's not the case in some of these areas, but in our city, for the most part, most of our black officers, and I know there's always a couple of bad, but most ones that I know around have a good relationship with the black community. But yet and still, that good relationship does not equate to them always policing us. We're sending a group of white folks to police our people. We have to start demanding that we want our own in our neighborhoods. These are people you went to school with. These are people you go to church with. These are people you're in organizations with. These are people, kids that you maybe have to go to help them out in Little League, something like that. These are the same people. We want these people policing us. Not those people from other side of town who don't give a hoot about us, who really, you know, they love us as much as they love President Obama. And you know how much they love him. You know, that Obama backlash is out there bad, boy. It's really out there.
We're gonna take a break on the view right back.
Okay.
I want to tell the story of our existence in our own worlds. I want others to know that we all have a story to tell about who we are and what we're about. We as women play a very important role in life. God has allowed us to bear the brunt and bruises of so much pain throughout the world because He knew that we could survive through wars and injustices that have been geared toward us. He truly knew what He was doing when He created us. That is why they say we are the better half of the man. We as women need to take our place and stand tall, not wavering on who we are. We need not allow others to define us. We need to come together and stop putting each other down, making one another feel that they have to compete. Compete for attention, for relevance, and for substance. We have to know that we are somebody, that we are strong, resilient, intelligent, and most of all, survivors. Again, I say stand tall. Take your place in what defines you. Never let a tear be wiped away before it has a reason to be shed. Make every part of who you are represent what you stand for. You are relevant, no matter how others perceive you. You are relevant.
This is Salida and Brian, and we're back with Say Your Piece.
Okay.
All right. Today we're talking about community. How we need to be teaching our own people.
It started off clear, Salida, and now it's breaking up real bad again.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Still breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
No.
I hear you loud and clear. It might be time to put a new headset, right?
I don't know if you want to hear that. Must be playing out.
I'm on the head. Can you hear me?
No, I didn't hear you say what now?
I might need a new head. Can you?
He's saying something, but I don't know what it is.
I tell you, keep talking, and I'll keep listening.
Okay. Well, we want, I guess one of my biggest concerns is that we as a people, we got to wake up. And some people say, okay, well, what do we do? What is it that we how can we come out of this problem that we're in? Well, the first thing we got to do, I think, the very first thing we have to do, we got to stop hating each other. And to move it further, I mean hating each other, is we got to start supporting what we already have. We as a people don't support our own. Well, some people may say, well, how is that going to help us in this situation? Well, first of all, you got to have some kind of economic power or strength to do anything in this day and time. It's just not going to happen without it. But if we're fighting each other, if we're crabs in a barrel, as soon as somebody else make a move, we have a problem with it and we want to pull them down or don't want to help them because we think they've gotten something that we don't have, then it hurts us as a whole. We got to have some of our people get to the top, so to speak, so that they'll make a way for us to move up there. It's almost the same as President Obama becoming president. This man becoming president may not get us to where we need to be, but it inspires some others to do the same who may just be that catalyst to move forward. Personally speaking, in this society where we don't control the outcome of what happens to us and our people here, we got the main thing I think we have to do, we got to separate. But until that happens, we got to come together. So that we do separate, we'll have some unity among us. I mean, it's almost like a cat fight to get black people to come together. It has to be something brought against us by others that causes us to finally come together. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way.
Come together. Can you hear me?
It's still breaking up bad. I don't know what you did at first when it cleared up, but it's breaking up bad.
Okay. Basically, can you hear me when I'm talking?
No, the commercial was real clear, but I don't know, for some reason, I don't know what you're breaking up bad.
Okay. Let me try a second. Go ahead. Continue talking.
Well, I guess Lee, get that fixed. I'll just keep. But I think if we have so many issues of, we were talking about the issues in the justice system, where our people are being done so wrong by these judges. They're being persecuted. They're getting these long, lengthy sentences. Why others, whites in particular, are getting probation. We get 25 years, they get 18 months.
Exactly.
We get life, what they get. If we get life, they may get 3 years. They're getting another chance at life, and now they're writing laws to write us out of the books. Folks, I still say we plan into the hands, and I know a lot of people, it's hurting out there. I know money has been made. Families are trying, but we got to learn ways to make money without hurting our own people in the process of it. Because selling, and I know people say, well, you can say that because you don't have to sell. But if you're hurting your own, it's like giving your child a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Selling to your own people. It's another way to make that dollar. Not selling the drugs to them because they're giving it to us. They're getting two things accomplished. They're setting you up for the prison, and they're setting them up for the graveyard.
Yeah.
They're messing their head up enough to where it doesn't matter because they're walking around like a zombie. But if we can wake up to see what they're doing to us, they got to destroy us in their mind. Because if not, they know we'll eventually take our rightful position. And I just don't think, and I know, I know it's not in us to do on others what's been done to us. It's not in our nature.
No, we don't like that.
All we want, I mean, think about America. America, everywhere she's gone, it's been blood. It's been all kind of what they call it, chaos. All over the world, everywhere she goes into the problem. Think about what Salida said. Salida, you said that Louisiana, not America, but just Louisiana, per capita has more people in prison than Russia. But they always talk about the big bad communists. Look at China. I think they said they had, was that China, Salida, had one murder in, I don't know, how many years?
I can't.
I think that was China, but
you
don't hear about murder and stuff like that all the time.
That's true. Wait one minute, Brian.
Hello?
How
are
you doing?
Hi, both of you. It's a pleasure. My name is Salahuddin from New York City. Sorry to hear about your son being wrongfully convicted.
No, not my son.
I know the lady, Marion Fulmore, right? Marion Fulmore Crawford.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I'm very sorry to hear that. And I said I live in New York City, so, you know, this prison industrial complex is gobbling up a lot of, you know, our young people, you know, racial profiling. And as the gentleman said, I know that there are more people in prison here. And you would think it's because we have a larger problem with crime, and that's not necessarily so. We know that our people, when we do, even when we're, Tim Wise, he cited the statistic, the United States Department of Justice statistic, that black and Hispanic males are like three or four times more likely to be stopped in a routine traffic stop by police, but when white people are stopped, they're four times more likely to have drugs on them. So, I mean, you figure. So a lot of it has to do with profiling and some other factors. But, no, we're not predisposed to be more criminal than any other group. There's a lot of, you know, high crime rates within the white community, but a lot of times the police will let them go. You know, there's books on that, you know, like about the prison industrial complex by John Flatow, maybe you read of it, and a lot of other books about how, you know, the police invariably will interact with the white community in a very different way in which they interact with us. So, yeah.
It's totally true. If we see it all the time, where in other communities, the police, and I think it's a combination of hate and fear. We are portrayed in the media as animals, and we're portrayed in the media as thugs. We're portrayed as everything but the child of God. So therefore, when these white officers who see the big brute, the strong, the bold black man who looks to be on TV so cold, he's already got his gun cocked because I'm not going to be a victim of this. I've seen the shows, and it's embedded in his mind. And they go to such lengths to take us down and pin things on us when you look at the full case. Whenever they own do something, it's much greater, and they get a slap on the wrist.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, oh, you guys are just making this. I mean, it's time after time again. International studies have shown that America is biased toward black
their
people,
own people.
Poor
mm-hmm.
people. I mean, everyone sees it.
Exactly.
But we want to call everybody else evil. The other country's evil.
Hypocrisy. That's the incredible hypocrisy
exactly.
of the United States, as you said. And a lot of whites, like you said, a lot of Noam Chomsky, you know, comedians like Bill Maher and George Carlin, they cite the hypocrisy and, may I say, the stupidity of the white people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're
mm-hmm.
so down on ourselves as a people, realizing that we're oppressed by the larger white society. So, you know, if we can circumvent them and start doing things on our own, but when we start trying to keep vigil and try to maintain law and order in our own communities, they stop us. You know,
mm-hmm.
every time we try to, and people will cite us for not being, independent and comparing us to other immigrant groups. The white community in this country does not have the same relationship with other demographics that they have with the black. They try to keep us down. I mean, like you said, Douglas Blackman wrote a book called Slavery by Another Name about the criminalization of black people, particularly black males. You know, there's Andrew Hacker wrote a book about the differential treatment that black Americans are subject to, even compared with black, other immigrants, even black immigrants. The white community
mm-hmm.
in this country has declared war on us, black
mm-hmm.
Americans. They perceived us in the 1960s as potentially the most insurrectionary group, the Black Liberation Army, Black Panthers. They were terrified of us. We have black people in jail now, like Mumia Abu-Jamal, and we know of some others, within the black community who were political prisoners, they wanted to keep us down, and they created a buffer. And as you said, they criminalize us. And was it that movie that the Michael Moore wrote, the film, I think it was Fahrenheit 9/11, or no, Bowling
yeah.
and Columbine. You remember the comedy where he said, the white people are getting guns because they have what's called Afrophobia. You know, we call it racism, but that's the system is racism. But they're, the feminists say that, hatred of women, irrational fear and hatred, misogyny. The homosexuals say homophobia. You know, the Jews say anti-Semitism. The white community has Afrophobia, an irrational fear and hatred of us, and that's never been dealt with. They say
right.
the system,
mm-hmm.
but they don't talk about the pathology that generates the system that drives it. They have an irrational fear and hate. All we wanted to do was integrate with them. So they had
mm-hmm.
this knee-jerk reaction and brought all these immigrants in here to take the jobs we fought for during the Civil Rights Movement, and now it's backfired on them. Now they're
mm-hmm.
being discriminated against by these other groups now who've this massive influx of other immigrants,
mm-hmm.
and now they're having to compete with them. So, yeah, please. Yeah.
The part when we talk about immigration is
mm-hmm.
that lots of the nobody was only in 1965 when anybody of a color could immigrate into America.
Talk the Immigration Act, and we
mm-hmm.
fought for it. And a lot of the immigrants who come here thumb their noses at us, and if it wasn't for us agitating, legislating, often dying, for, like you said, the immigration before that, you had Chinese Exclusionary Act. There was virtually no immigration. It was basically, this country was basically black and white, very few Hispanics, very few Asians. And again, the knee-jerk reaction to the white community with this massive influx of immigrants as a buffer to us because they were terrified of us, and again, it backfired. So, yeah, we're caught in the middle. We're caught now. The civil rights movement is now about white women, immigrants, and
mm-hmm.
gays. And we've
yeah,
been pushed to
no
the margins
longer,
of the ones who fought for it.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it's no longer about us anymore. We're in their eye, they don't want us to be important. I was talking to Brian, my co-host, not too long ago, where they're saying that there's a low birth rate of white babies now, which means that white women are not having babies as much. So if you feel like your population or your race of people is, it's not growing, what is wrong? It's not growing. And everybody else around you is growing. The elite got to keep letting you know, hey, I'm in charge. I'm still supreme. I'm supreme, and you're still going to do what I say. No matter how few it is, we're going to still fight, and we're still going to make it hard for you to live here. And that's basically what it is. They're desperate. They're at a point in this whole thing now is that they're desperate, and we're going to do all we can to shut them down. And a prison is the most fabulous thing to them that they ever came up with when it comes to suppressing us and keeping us in one enclosed area. Let's just throw their asses in jail, point blank.
Hmm.
Every opportunity we get, let's throw their asses in jail. And that's basically what they did. That's exactly what they did.
And that's
and
what
they're
doing. And we have
yeah.
innocent people, people who have not done crimes that fit, doing time that does not fit the crime,
mm-hmm.
that are being
yep.
put in jail. and basically throw away the key.
Exactly. Yep.
And, you know, Salida and I were talking, this probably been a month or so ago, about in Louisiana they have Angola Prison.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it?
Well, I've seen that in documentaries. I've seen that in documentaries. Lord have mercy.
And notice that the only thing that we have in Louisiana is named after anything in Africa is a prison.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
The Angola prison, though, why would some of these people go through length of risking their lives with this big bull running over them in the middle of a arena for a couple of dollars? But we have to remember, they're locked away.
Exactly.
They get a chance to get people in an open arena with no handcuffs on, not behind bars, and see the sunshine. And they'll risk their life, and they get a couple of dollars that they wouldn't normally have access to. And so you know, they're using these people because of the mistreatment even in the system, because they want to see some kind of freedom. And they, at least that this is free in their mind, but the risk in their life in the process of it. That's not if that's not taking advantage of a situation and a person that's under your control, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
Well, you go back to the 13th and 14th Amendment. What did they say? They really wasn't planning on getting rid of slavery. That was not on
their
agenda. That's why they created that. If they in prison, we're going to make them work. We fuss about around here where we live at, in Louisiana, where we have prisoners that work our literally, we had a sheriff tell me in an interview that it was the best thing ever happened to them to have prisoners working. It's saving the city millions and millions of dollars in labor.
Wow.
So you'd rather give a job to an inmate than to give a job to somebody that needs a job and get them to work for pennies a day.
Well, and the bad part about it is that the church is allowing them to come through and brag about it, and they amen.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Come to the church and brag about
how it's happening here in our area. Come to the church, brag about it, and they amen in it.
Yeah.
What do you both think about the church now? You know, there was a time when the church was radicalized. It seems like now the church is now collaborating with the status quo. They uphold the status quo now.
Yeah, they're bought and paid for. That's why.
Mm.
Well, down here, the majority of them down here are.
Well, down here you used to have where the minister solely depended on the church to live.
Yeah. Mm.
Now he has a job in the church as a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if he's not a part-time job, he's in bed or he wants to be accepted by the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do anything or say anything that his master may not like.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So, or even if he did do something he didn't like, he's been already pulled to the side and patted on the back. Now, Charlie, you know this is not really what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows his boundaries and his limits as far as upsetting his master, his handler, his new father.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is he wants to appease him,
or
be patted on the head. You know, like, you know, you outside and your dog do something good, you pat him on the head, and how they look at you, and they open their mouth and they wag their tail, and they're just so happy because you like what they did.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the same justification from his master. So he, like that dog, that pit bull, will go and fight another pit bull to the death and run back to his master after he killed one of his own and say, did I do a good job? And the
exactly.
And he didn't take it.
Huh? Exactly. He's a bulldog.
As long as he helped the master, he don't care if he kill his own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what the issue is.
Yep.
We're not the pastors of today, not all of them, but a lot of pastors of today are not those of old.
Hmm.
I think a lot of those old, they were in the same struggle, they were in the same shoes, and they depended upon those people of that time to support them so that they're giving back was to help push the struggle, but not Not today.
Today, preacher, because they're going to get something out the deal if they ignore the oppressed. Mm. If they ignore them, somebody's got their hands in their pocket somewhere, point blank. You need a new sidewalk? Okay, we got your sidewalk. You just don't let them communists or those other people that's not trying to keep you oppressed, don't get involved with them. Don't let them get to church. Don't be talking about that with your church members. So it's a lot that's in there, right? There's some press in the whole situation. They're doing the same thing. I know for sure we have some that have our mayor in their pockets. It blatantly have them in their pockets. And we're in a city where there's 57% black, and we have a white mayor. I mean, and he runs everything. He runs everything.
Right.
You can't
believe it. Never had a black mayor.
Never had a black mayor here.
Let's put it like this. Our people in the city in which we are are so weak-minded that we had 10 people running for mayor.
Yep.
Nine of them were black.
Yep.
Everybody said, well, that's a problem. You had too many blacks running. So we added up and voted all the blacks got against the one white. And if they would have had one black running, they still would have lost against that one white mayor. If we add up all the votes of all the blacks, that white mayor would still came out on top. Now, if that's not a weak people, what is?
But, you know, they'll get mad at you. They'll get mad at you, a lot of our people, you know, because they're all about image, you know, and it hurts. The truth hurts. But they'll get mad at you, like at Bill Cosby. They got mad at him for saying the truth, you know. Like, hey, look at ourselves. We got to look in the mirror.
Yeah, man in the mirror. We were talking about earlier, I don't know if you heard us talking, we did a video, and we're not finished with it, around our area, the town we're in. And we showed disparities in the black community. And I was asking Brian earlier, because he's the one who gets the feedback on it. And I wanted him to explain some of the feedback he got on the video. Can you hear me?
Well, I didn't get no good faces of it. I sent it to some people looking for some feedback, and they're not speaking to me now. It's all good because I'm used to it. But some people that are talking to me are saying, wow, we've been needing this done. This is really exposing the truth. This is something that we've been trying to get out. It's just putting it in their face. It's not something we made up.
No.
It's like a picture of a lake that's been polluted with trash. You didn't pollute it. All we did was take the picture of it.
And they're blaming you as though you created the situation.
Right, as though you created it because you said, well,
right.
Oh, we know it's polluted, but you didn't have to tell us it was polluted. Or you didn't have to take a highlighter marker and highlight the pollution.
Exactly.
You know, how are we going to fix a problem if we don't acknowledge we have one?
Don't acknowledge we have one. That's the very problem. But you know what was so profound to me and disturbing at the same time was we have another member of our team. Who has a lot of expertise. And she pointed out to me this electrical power plant that's right by the community center, is right next to a home. And she said, well, you know, we had that same kind of power plant downtown. I said, yeah. I said, that's the one with the brick wall by it. She said, yeah. I said, well, they make a pretty brick wall. She said, it's more than just a pretty big brick wall. I said, what do you mean? She said, you hear about power plants affecting people's medical conditions, causing all kind of problems. I did hear about that. She said, this same thing that's more likely to be happening here. She said, you had this big power plant sitting here, and it's only a chain link fence around it, whereas downtown you have a brick enclosure. That brick enclosure, not just for prettiness, it also breaks that a buffer.
A barrier, yeah.
Yeah, barrier or buffer for those that radiation coming off that power plant. It's so simple to do, so inexpensive as far as that, she said it was a lawsuit filed, that and the people won a lawsuit because of this very problem that it caused problems. But because in our neighborhood, over where the white people are, they have this barrier for protection. But where we are, they have a chain link fence. And that stuff is going everywhere.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just blatant. Everything we show is blatantly in your face. We don't give a damn about you, mama,
your
brother,
baby,
or whoever else.
No.
This is all y'all deserve.
And the EPA is supposed to, really should be an issue, right? Just calling the EPA and they investigate and proceed accordingly.
You know what? Didn't think about that.
Didn't think about that.
Matter of fact, she mentioned that.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to, matter of fact, that was one of the things on, she mentioned that.
Okay.
Also, the gas issue.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The natural gas issue.
Yeah.
We have fracking? Yeah. Fracking, right? Fracking.
We have a natural gas issue where they have gas pipelines coming up out of the ground, wide open. One has a little wooden enclosure around it. The other one has just a chain link fence. And according to this, our same source, that's a Homeland Security issue. It could easily be blown up.
Yeah.
But it's right
in
by
the black
residents, right
black
by residents.
Next door
and it's
to
not
a house.
Even, when I say right by, not even a foot difference. The line, the proper line of that line and the proper line of the gas line. And this thing is, I mean, man, when it comes to our community, it's so just night and day. But you go to the other parts of town, you don't see this type of, whenever they have things like this, it's highly hidden, it's secured, it's enclosed.
Yes.
You just don't see it wide open like that as you do in our neighborhood. They just not going to let it happen. But nobody says anything about it because they said, well, they're used to it.
But that's the problem we have. We're so used to everything.
It took this history of 30, get close to 40 years to finally get a waste treatment plant set up to where they couldn't smell the waste from it.
Wow.
Close to 40 years, the residents of our neighborhood were able to smell out this waste treatment plant, the waste that came through it. It was built right around our home. This is the kind of thing that they do in our neighborhood.
We have a salvage yard sitting in the back of the neighborhood, in a black neighborhood, in our black community. A
with
big
no
old salvage yard.
Real.
No fencing, no protection around it or nothing.
Chain link, where you can see right through it.
Yeah.
Well,
weeds growing all up around it. I mean, if we don't stand up, this is what they say. Well, this is what they used to. They don't say anything about it, so why should we?
Yeah. But we are going to because that's who we are.
Well,
we have to stand up.
Yes.
And see, this is right around this time, too, even though it's election time for our president, it's also election time for our district. Some of our city councilmen are doing their elections, too. So it's not looking good if I come to your district and I'm doing a video on your district. That don't look good. And you've been in charge all this time, and your district looked like this?
Well, and you hadn't even said anything about it.
No, and open up the door. Yeah.
You're satisfied.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. We're getting a lot of things done. We showed the parks in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
One of the parks is the oldest in the city. And this park has a rundown tennis court. It has a rundown baseball field. The press box and stuff where behind the baseball field is just wide open. No, it can't be used. It's not in use. You can't use it anymore. You got the grass and spray with Roundup chemicals. But then you go to the white side of town. It's taken care of by a professional salon lawn service. It's well kept. It has what they call it, the Hall of Fame sign. Matter of fact, the SWAC,
the HCBUs are going to be using it, one of the parks here in this city next week to do their soccer, not term, what they call it, the soccer finals. They do it every year. That's how that's how well kept the park is on the white side of town. But they won't do it in black side of town because we don't have anything compatible to it. Now, this is also built on the side of town that doesn't even have the population built up on it yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Before the population got there, they had built this park way out. No possibility of a black kid getting there because it's too far out. It's down the highway. Our tax dollars are paying for it and maintaining this.
Yes, yes.
But the same money that they're using to maintain this is not being used to do and keep up for our own parks. We have a park built in front of, we have a multi-million dollar high school. The only reason this high school is rebuilt was because the only way it could get out of a consent decree because of inadequacies when it came to African Americans was to build this school. So it was built. But the park around it is so substandard. The city owns the park, the parish owns the school, which is the same as the county. And they don't have, it's, they got a what do they call it, Salida? What do they call it? A pavilion. Salida and I went to school. And I graduated in 84. It was there way before I went there. It's still there. It's so substandard. It's made with, with pre-sold poles. But these are the type of things that we put up with, and our elected officials don't stand up and stomp their feet and say anything about, and they don't worry about, but instead they're putting things in the white neighborhood.
Now, you were
don't even have population yet to be able to say, hey, we need a park, yet until they get one, and they're well-maintained. That's our part. And when we say this, we're saying America. This same thing we know is happening all over the place in a lot of different areas. And until the people stand up and call an injustice of what it is, it's going to continue to happen.
Exactly. Yes. Now, what were you going to say? You were going to say something?
Yeah, no, as you said, I think that in terms of the public discourse, a lot of our people in the black community, a lot of white people think that the reason that we have this disparity is because of poverty in the black areas. Well, quite frankly, as you said, oftentimes the money or the tax dollars in the black community is siphoned off and reallocated to the white community. And it's pretty much of a scam. And also when it comes to the public wheel, the common wheel, these institutions and organizations, the schools and such, it is illegal for the school district, for the city organizations and institutions to discriminate in terms of whether they're going to treat one area with more consideration than another area. So you're right. I mean, listen, bottom line is we have, I'm sure you all heard of it, we the black community in this country, we've like $44 million on a macro level, on a national level. We're about 44 million people. And we generate about $1 trillion worth of revenue in this country, right? 95 cents of every dollar we know goes directly out of our communities, where it turns over many times in most other communities, Jews, Hispanics, Asians, and the white community. You know,
hey, you guys.
Directly out.
I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm sorry. We're running out of time. I'm down
to
90 seconds.
Sure.
I want to thank you so much for calling in. Enjoyed your conversation. Enjoyed your input. I'm going to let you guys go. Have a great weekend. Brian, I'll talk to you in a few. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
It was a pleasure. Bye, both of you. Great pleasure. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Join us every Saturday at 10 p.m. for more Say Your Peace Radio Show.